Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
Jack McCarthy is off today. It's his birthday, so wish him a happy birthday. I don't know, what would you call it?
Yeah,
happy metaphysically.
Birthday. Yeah. In spirit. He's here in spirit.
Far more important. Mine was on the 22nd, so I had a decent birthday. It was very quiet, which is the story of my life, but I like it that way.
Yeah, you had a great birthday with 2-2-2-2-2. When can you ever get that again? You know, never.
Well, it better do something for me. You know, I'm hoping that it rubs off and something happens during the year, but didn't get crap on the day that it happened, so we'll see. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about, especially since Jack isn't here to defend some people, some of the least favorite actors in the MCU. I have many. I don't know if I'm going to go through all of them. I'll probably spend more in detail with the ones I really don't like or my most hated ones. But I have over 20. And again, I don't know if I'm going to go through all 20, but and I know Fedra is probably a lot more kinder when it comes to her picks, I assume.
We'll see.
Okay. But we're also going to get in the news, and you know what? Let's get in the news right now. So, Spider-Man No Way Home is coming to digital on March 22nd and on disc on April 12th, which is DVD, which I can't believe that's still around, and Blu-ray and 4K UHD. Are you excited, Fedra?
I mean, not really. I mean, I do want to see it again, start to finish, just to see how I felt from theater to see it at home. Will I have the same attitude? Part of me says yes, part of me says no. But, I mean, great for them that it's going digital, but no, not really excited about it.
Well, there's a rumor out there that there might be an extended edition, but I think that's just a rumor that fans are making up, mostly because Disney never does that crap. Sony might, though, because Sony's the lead producer in it. So who knows? They might want to squeeze a little bit more money out there, and they were thinking about releasing it, I guess, next month, which would be March, in theaters with an extended one. Again, this is all rumors. But I will say, though, I'll pick it up. There were definitely things in it that I liked, and it's nice that fast forward is your friend, because you can see the scenes that you want to see. And but yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it. Like I said, I saw it recently and my opinion didn't change on it, but it's cool seeing all three Spider-Men together. So, and I love the ending when he finally becomes Spider-Man, I hope, you know, with the nice sewn Spider-Man costume with the sewing machine, a more comic book accurate Spider-Man costume. That's got me really pumped. So I'm excited about that. So where are you with Daredevil?
I believe we just are at the end of season two, starting season three. So it's really coming along. There are, like, overall, I still like the show. Very dark, very interesting narratives. Like, really, when I talk about, like, subliminal messaging in Star Wars and Disney, I mean, geez, this Netflix show is pretty dark that I could go into. But really liking the actors still. It does every now and then have this, like, soap opera feel, which I wasn't really digging. I didn't like the whole, like, episodes with Elektra and him just like having this on and off again thing, and she's just so hooked on him. Like, I just don't feel that. Again, I read briefly comics of Daredevil, but I never got that vibe from Elektra personally.
She was cool in the comics.
Yeah, I didn't really see her as a needy person or really like needing to have this relationship with Daredevil, how they're painting it in this season too. We're right where I left off. Elektra was going over to Stick to kill him. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. Like, I actually disagree with you about Frank Castle, the actor. I think he's been doing great. I think he's hitting that fine line. Like, a part of me really does want to see him like chaotic and just like killing everyone that's bad. But then I also like this fine line of him where he wants to be protective of Karen and he wants to be protective of good people, innocent people, but he's also off his rocker. So I kind of like that balance play personally. So I don't know. Can you go over again why you don't like this particular actor playing Frank Castle?
It's his look. I don't like his haircut.
Okay, so it's just the look, but the acting-wise, yeah. You think he's spot on?
Not necessarily. I don't think he's a bad actor. I just don't know if he fits my idea of the Punisher, where, again, like I said, I thought Thomas Jane, I thought he was okay, you know, as the Punisher. And then, I forget that guy's name again, Stevenson. He was good in Punisher Warzone. I thought he was a great Punisher. We all have preconceived ideas of what the characters that we read in the comics, and even like when Disney makes a live action movie from an animated one, you know, you have some sort of idea what you want to see on screen. And then if it's not replicated, you're a little disappointed. And that's how I felt about him. And again, I think a lot of it had to do with his haircut. I think he's got big ears too. I'm just very picky when it comes to characters, but that's about it. Not like I hated his acting or hated it. I just think that I felt that you have to look at the comic book characters, and I know they've been drawn differently throughout the series, throughout the, you know, his whole history.
Yeah. His image has changed several times,
but he's still kind of, you know, got like the greasy black hair. I forget his name, but there's a guy that drew the covers for a lot of the Punisher comic books, and he did such a fantastic job. And I just wish that they looked like that, the covers. I'll send you some pictures afterwards. They're really cool. Good Lord. But anyway, so my point though is bringing this up is you better hurry up, lady, because they're going to go off of Netflix pretty soon, starting March 1st.
Yeah, I know. I only have a few more days. Yeah.
But it sounds like it's going to move over to Disney Plus in Europe and I think Canada on March 16th. The Netflix series. Disney Plus in the United States will not have any rated R movies or I guess whatever kind of rating you would give a TV series like that. So it's not going to be on there. But Disney also owns like a big chunk of Hulu. So a lot of their movies go on there. So more than likely, you might be able to see it on Hulu. I wouldn't be surprised if they show up on Hulu on December 16th.
So are the other ones then shifting to Hulu then, like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and all of those?
I'm just assuming since they're going to the Europe Disney Plus version, which again, you can put rated R movies on there, but like movies like Deadpool and Logan that are rated R, they're not allowed on Disney Plus. I have Hulu. I don't know if Logan's on there. I don't think it really is, but I know that Deadpool 1 and 2 are on there. I sound like I'm beating a dead horse. Daredevil was one of my favorite characters growing up. I think it was with Marvel, Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Daredevil. But I just don't want to see so many hours of stories of his life. I'd much rather see movies. Like if you had a trilogy, a Daredevil trilogy, I think that you can cut out a lot of the stuff that we saw in the series and still make a good trilogy in the movies. Like I do like the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. Jennifer Garner, she really was a bad choice for Elektra. She did okay, but again, it's like what I said, it's not what I perceived Elektra to be. She just didn't look like the character at all. And Ben Affleck, I thought he did a decent job. I rag on Ben Affleck a lot, like when he was chosen as Batman, because he's just too recognizable and his voice is just not deep enough to be Batman. But I thought he was a decent Daredevil. I could see him as other characters, like he's probably maybe Nightwing. But there's definitely some characters that he could be. It's just Batman was a rough one. Although every time I watch, you know, Batman v Superman, I'm starting to like him a little more. But
I haven't seen it, actually. I haven't seen the
Daredevil. You haven't seen Daredevil.
Ben Affleck, no.
You should check it out.
I avoided it because it was Ben Affleck. So I will give it a try. And I agree with you, Ben Affleck will never be Batman.
Well, no, I said that once, but my point is I'm starting to warm to him, even though now it seems like he's never going to be Batman again after The Flash. But I did like his costume. I liked the fact that he worked out. He got in some serious shape. There's that scene in Batman v Superman where he is lifting weights and pulling metal chains and tires and doing push-ups. That's what I like to see Batman do, because that's what Batman does. You never saw Michael Keaton do that.
Although or I Val love Kilmer. Yeah.
Did we see Val Kilmer do that? No, we saw Christian Bale do it. Mm-hmm. We saw him working out a bit. You know, he would do push-ups and, you know, some things. But that's part of Batman, is that, you know, he's not only smart, but he's also physically on top of everybody else. You know, he doesn't have superpowers, damn, he would kick your ass in a fight easily.
Incredibly and disciplined. Yeah.
And you look at Ben Affleck now and no. I don't think there's enough money to get him in shape again. He's just, I think he's done playing the character and getting in shape. Anyway, Indiana Jones 5 is almost done filming. Frank Marshall, who's one of the producers, kind of tweeted something and said that we're in the home stretch. And it's supposed to be released June 30th, 2023. Do you have any excitement at all for this movie?
I mean, I've always been an Indiana Jones fan. I mean, the last one was terrible. So I don't know. Like, can they make it worse? Let's see, you know, but that's one thing that, you know, I will give it a shot as a fan of the first three. I will check it out just for the sake of being a Harrison Ford fan. But, you know, I'm not thinking like it's going to be fantastic. I don't blame Kate Blanchett at all, because she's a fantastic actress.
No, she was good in that.
And she was going with what, you know, what was written. So, you know, I'm not going to put it down on her. But like, to me, that was just a terrible one. So I'm not going to get hopeful, but definitely will be ready to see it. And I look forward to at least a trailer to see how everything gets put together. Like, what are they going to do?
I can't imagine it getting any worse, actually. I did watch The Crystal Skull not too long ago, and there are some good things in it. And I think for the most part, Harrison Ford does an excellent job playing Indiana Jones. It's just the ensemble. There just were too many characters. I don't think we needed all of them. Steven Spielberg was in love with Shia LaBeouf for some reason. He was always putting him in movies and ruining them with his presence, like Transformers and whatever else. That
I think they were trying to make a transition of Shia LaBeouf to be the young Indiana Jones, but it didn't work. The ensemble, like you said, wasn't strong. And also, it didn't really look like, at least to me, it didn't look like Shia LaBeouf really bonded to that character to make that transition even believable. So that's why for me, it was like one and done. It's like, all right, you guys are never putting everybody together again. That was just a mashup and a bad one. So, I mean, I don't know. Like I've seen, I only saw recently Shia LaBeouf's film. That was incredible. Very, very dark.
Is it the peanut butter something?
Honey Boy. Yeah. I mean, it was phenomenal. It was very dark, and I could not believe that that was, you know, his way of life growing up that way. But, you know, I haven't seen many of his films. Like, I completely stayed away from Transformers because it just wasn't my thing. I love the cartoons, so I know that the real, like, live-action ones are not going to take the essence of what I used to feel watching those cartoons. So I'm not even going to try, because I don't want to be let down. I want to, you know, let it live. You know, it's the same thing with X-Men. I love the cartoons, and then what they did with the movies, it's like I critique every single one of them. I tear them apart because they're just not like the cartoon. So, you know, it's like when I see it, I always have to like just balance my boundaries of like, all right, I don't want to get pissed off, so just don't go watch it, you know. So I haven't really seen Shia LaBeouf in a lot, but I agree with you that he was not strong in that last film of Indiana Jones.
Well, I mostly dislike Shia LaBeouf because he's a despicable human being. He's just so obnoxious. He's so in love with himself. No one loves him more than he does. I know he recently had a baby. I can't believe anyone would even marry this guy and want to conceive a child with him because he's such a horrible human being.
Wow. These are harsh words. Like, no, where do you get this opinion from?
Throughout his whole career. Well, he used to be an Even Stevens. He was on the Disney Channel and all that. But once, like, he moved over to the Transformers, he just was so arrogant and so annoying and so rude. Most people that had to film movies with him just didn't like him. I'm not even going to really get into it, but he's just a jerk. And it's kind of like, and I hear Miles Teller is like that too, but the difference between Miles Teller and Shia LaBeouf is Miles Teller is a very good actor. Like, I'll watch any movie that he's in except for Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, like, I loved him in Whiplash. I thought that was, he did a very good performance in that. And, I just think he's a good actor, but Shia LaBeouf just hasn't done anything for me in any of the movies I've seen him in. And he got rich because of Transformers, and he was always throwing people under the bus. Like, I know when Indiana Jones 5 came out, he basically said that the movie sucked, and I spoke to Harrison Ford, and he said the same thing, and Harrison Ford got pissed off because he's like, you know, you don't crap on your own movie, and you don't ever mention my name when you're saying something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't say you can go out and
that's not professional at all.
Yeah, because, you know, they're still trying to sell a movie.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. And you have to think about the whole cast and crew. When you everybody.
All right, now I gotta cut that one out. Where are we? I remember Indiana Jones 5. So we'll see. Like I said, I think it could be better, but I would like to see a trailer, maybe a poster. Hopefully it's good. At least it's finally finished, no matter what. I don't think there's going to be a sixth one, so that should make Harrison Ford happy. So Francis Ford Coppola came out and he said he's not too crazy about Marvel. He did an interview with GQ magazine and he said, there used to be studio films. Now there are Marvel pictures. And what is a Marvel picture? Marvel Picture is one prototype movie that is made over and over and over and over again to look different. Your director painted the likes of Dune and No Time to Die with the same brush. Even talented people, you can take Dune, made by Denis Villeneuve, an extremely talented, gifted artist, and you could take No Time to Die, created by Carrie. I'm not going to say that word because it sounds like a curse word. Begins with an F, and there's a K in there, and there's a U in there. I'll just say that. He's extremely gifted, talented, beautiful artist, and you know, but basically what he was saying is that, you know, he's not crazy about the movies. Like Martin Scorsese had said it recently, and I think so did Ridley Scott, that they were not fans of these superhero movies. And who was that? The guys that made the Independence Day movie and Moonfall. Roland Emmerich, I think, said the same thing. I'll try to say this really quick. I think a lot of it is sour grapes. I think they're jealous because they're getting a lot of attention. And, you know, if they make good movies, it's hard to get production companies to back a movie if they feel like they're not going to make almost $1 billion, where it's very easy to make a Marvel or Star Wars or a DC movie and make $1 billion. So they're like, well, why do I want to do a serious drama if I'm really not going to make money? And it kind of sucks for artists that really have something to say or want to, give their, their directing, talent somewhere in a picture. So I can kind of see that. I do feel bad for them when you think that Martin Scorsese had such a difficult time having The Irishman made, where, again, if it was a superhero movie, you'd have no problems. So I do kind of see their point, but I also feel like it's a little bit of sour grapes too. What about you?
I don't agree. I think that they're, those three have made masterpieces, that really are timeless. When I think about each director. So I can see that they're gauging this again in the way that I gauge these films. These are not Oscar winning, types of films. And so I think that they are judging it harshly because, about the hype and about, and I do think that, they're using a certain formula and putting certain narratives that they want in these Marvel films. And so the whole family goes. And so it is big box office hit, and it's going to get a great amount of return. And then you don't get the same amount of attention when it comes to these dramas or comedies or, and I think it is quite an investment, but it's also putting down the rest of the film industry. Because when you look at, big name actors that are in these dramas, they have a certain amount of expertise. Whereas when you see, in Marvel, no offense to the actors, I mean, most of them are not award winning, and some of them have barely a line or two, and it's mainly just action and, high visual arts and effects. So yeah, I think they definitely have a point, because it really does take an eye to create a scene, and it does take heavy writing to go through a very in deep type of story. I mean, when you talk about The Irishman, I mean, not only is that, a 3-hour movie as well, but it tells a very particular story. And I don't think you can throw in Tom Holland in there to be a mobster or a hit guy. I see your eyes, Joe. Look at that. You see my point.
Oh, you did. I mean, see my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, you see my point there. I mean, Tom Holland in a nice little suit would be like, yeah, cute kid, we're going to eat you for breakfast. Come on.
Well, you know why I rolled my eyes? Because Tom Holland, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home did really well. It's close to $2 billion. And now he did the Uncharted movie, which I think is an insult to the video game because he looks nothing like the character. And so does Mark Ruffalo. Oh, I can't think of his name. Who is that guy, Fedra?
Which guy? What do you want me to look for? You know, I'm good at that.
Oh, I always want to know. Uncharted. Look at the movie Uncharted. Look at there's two actors in the movie. One's Tom Holland. I'm gonna kick myself for not coming it up before you.
Severy Goodnitson.
No, Uncharted. Type in Uncharted with Tom Holland. Oh my god!
Oh, there.
I was gonna say Mark Ruffalo, but it's not Mark Ruffalo. Oh my god.
Mark Wahlberg.
There you go, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Marky Mark, you know, the ex rapper.
Marky Mark. Yeah. Oh, Brian Cranston's in there. All right. All right, Mr. White. Antonio Banderas. Oh yeah. Okay. He's a great guy. Excuse me.
No, I'm just saying Mark Ruffalo. I said it again. Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a great actor at all. He was good in Boogie Nights. I like that movie and a couple of his early performances, but no, anytime. But
he's a great picture boy though. He's great for the family kind of movies and the family comedies and the family dramas. So yeah, write him with Tom Holland. It's perfect. But I get what you're saying. It's not deep. It's not, you know, it's not like Denzel Washington type of
acting, you ever play Uncharted, the video game? No. It's on PlayStation. Well, the guy that plays Nathan Drake is the main character, and he's basically, I'd say roughly like he's in his 30s, pushing 40, but he's in great shape. He's like a young Indiana Jones, you know, he's an adventurer. You know, and he goes on all these treasure hunts and all that. And then the guy that Mark Wahlberg is playing is Sully, and he's basically this old adventurer that kind of trained Nathan Drake, but you know, he's old, he's fat, he's in his 50s, and that's not Mark Wahlberg, you know. They completely got the casting wrong with it, but it's doing good at the box office. My point is, when I rolled my eyes, is I'm worried that Tom Holland is getting a big head, that he's got two box office hits in a row, and that he might think it's because of him. And I don't think it's because of him. I think number one, everybody wanted to see the three Spider-Man together. And in this one, everybody was fans of the Uncharted video game. That was my two cents. I probably definitely went off on a tangent there. What were we talking about?
I could totally go back. Like to me, and I get it, you know, get it that they're comparing Marvel movies hard, and I think they're just fearful. I think they're fearful that it could change the industry as a whole of how they rate films, and then people are only going to want that type of film, you know, where it's like it's heroic and it has, you know, this romance and it has high visual effects and it's fighting and it's all about, you know, Marvel, and then everything else is just secondary. I think that's the fear. So then sci-fi movies and dramas are just going to be put to the side because there's going to be a whole lot of investment in it and not as much as a return of Marvel. And I could see that. But again, I agree. The only thing I do agree with you is that it's two separate things, you know, to rate. I mean, this is about superheroes, and I mean, I don't think they'll ever get to the caliber of being Oscar winning, you know, it's just a different level of film. So I can see their points, but as well, I just don't think that they should even compare them. It's two different animals, but I do think that they need to, like, Marvel needs to back off about getting such high budget films. And then these guys can't even make a movie. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's Martin Scorsese, you know, or Ron Howard or Ridley Scott. Like, come on, guys. These guys have been in the game for a long time. And I mean, I would be surprised if they make a bad film. You know, that's at least me.
Yeah, I think that part of the problem, too, is that there's so many superhero movies that come out a year now. I'd say there's at least five that come out a year. You know, not only Marvel, but DC, independent companies. And then you got stuff on Amazon, too, and Hulu, where they're pushing superhero stuff, that it's just very popular. But back in the day, you know, we had movies like Back to the Future and Rocky and Rambo and Terminator and all that stuff. And nobody really complained. They were their own separate genre. There's place for all different genres, you know, where you had action adventure.
Yeah.
And then you had like a serious dramatic movie. But I guess they're being very selective, these production companies, about what they want. And like I said, I did see The Irishman. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was Scorsese's best, but it does suck that he had to resort to Netflix in order to get his movie made. And
yeah, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, I don't think it was his best work, but it was fantastic. I will sit through that and watch it all over again, personally, but it's because I do love mafia movies. I've seen them all. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times my poppy would be cleaning the house and just be like, all right, it's Godfather marathon. And we just start to finish, you know, Godfather all day long. I mean, I loved it. I even learned the theme song on guitar when I was in high school because I loved it so much. So yeah. But it's just different kinds of stories. Like, that's why, like, in my mind, I don't take, like, you know, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and the Godfather. Like, I don't, like, it's completely two different genres, like, you know, like, in two different fields. Like, I can't see the way they would want to compare them. I think they're just envious. I agree with you just on the budget. I think that's what it is. It's just coming down to the money. And they want the same amount of negotiations in their films and their budgeting, which, again, I agree with them. They're big names. They're not new. Like J.J. Abrams, there's only a few films of J.J. Abrams I like. All these films that he's done, like with Star Trek, I didn't like what he did with Star Trek.
I like the first one.
I mean, the first one was all right. Second one, heck no. So, you know, it's really hit or miss with some of these new directors when doing Star Wars or doing, you know, these Disney films, like even the live action, like Mulan. Like, I thought it was just so. It wasn't amazing to me. I still will go back to the animated version.
You know, what's weird, too, is I remember back in the day when Disney came out, like they were the only basically business in town when it came to their animated features. Like they didn't have competition with DreamWorks and Sony and Fox or whoever else is making a movie, Universal. And it was a special event whenever a Disney movie came out, because usually it was one a year, but sometimes I think they would skip a year. And you know, you had Disney and Pixar, but now everybody's doing it. Like once a company sees how successful a genre is, they just latch onto it like leeches, and then they just mass produce them. Because when you look at a lot of animated movies that are out there right now, there's just crap, and even Disney's doing crap now. And it just used to be special, and I miss that, you know, like where a Disney animated movie was an event. I couldn't wait for when, you know, like I loved when Beauty and the Beast came out, and then it was nominated for Best Picture, and then you know, Aladdin, Lion King. Every year I looked forward, couldn't wait to see the poster show up, you know, on a billboard, couldn't wait to see a trailer. And now it's just, you know, nothing really excites me anymore. Could be I'm getting old too.
I think they're not taking their time. I think that they're just pumping out content, and that's why it's getting so saturated and lacking substance. Whenas you need to pull back. Some things are going to take time, and when they do take time, there's a certain amount of quality. So I think that's what's missing, because there used to be such a variety of films in theaters, and I either I don't see it anymore. I just feel like it's changed. Even in the horror film side, like, I mean, I don't watch horror movies anymore. But when I used to, there used to be some really, like, good ones, where now I just feel like it's the same kind of horror film that's just recycled and replayed. And it just will get old. So I think what I would like to see more of now, there was a period of time in the past where directors were remaking a lot of books. And I would really like to see that once again, just taking different stories of different books and just redoing them. Now, you know, in the modern time when we have effects, that it would be cool to see what they would do with it and be creative.
Yeah. No, I know it sounds weird, but I'm a huge fan of like period pieces. I like watching that. I know people hear me a lot and they say, oh, you know, he's doesn't like strong female characters. I do. Like, I've seen every version of Pride and Prejudice. I love that story. And I think every single one that's been done has been very good. You know, like, I like Sense and Sensibility and Room with a View. And I would like to see more of that stuff. Like, when that comes out, you know, I'm pretty interested in it. But anyway.
I like period pieces, too. I don't know if you've ever seen the John Malkovich version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
No, I've never seen that.
The film is called Mary Riley.
Oh, Mary Riley. Okay.
Yeah, that's with John Malkovich and Julia Roberts. It's a little bit on the older side, I guess, but it is.
Yeah, and I remember when that came out.
Yeah, and it's based on the novel of the perspective of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde's servant, which Julia Roberts plays. So it gives you an interesting perspective, but it's based on the book. I recently, because I'm a big fan of the show, it should be coming out. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but it's just hard to wait. The Handmaid's Tale. I recently watched the 80s version based on the book. Very time stamped of the 80s. It was.
Oh, there is an 80s version?
Yeah, it's very obvious, but very interestingly done. So if people, you know, are a fan of that, that's something to definitely look into. But that's what I like. I like when they take, like you said, period pieces too. Elizabeth the First, you know, Kate Blanchett does a fantastic job playing Elizabeth. That was a great one. Or Mila Jovovich, who plays Joan of Arc. That was a very interesting piece too, the way that they did it. I believe her husband directed that.
Was that Luke Besson?
Yeah. So those are great ones too.
Yeah. Well, Oscars are coming up pretty soon. And the Academy basically took a, I wouldn't say they kind of crumbled to social media, and now they introduced an Oscar fan favorite category. So if you want to vote for your favorite picture, you can, I guess, do hashtag Oscars fan favorite, and they'll tally up the votes and whoever's going to win fan favorite. So what I think is funny about this, though, is that Marvel thought they had it in the bag with Spider-Man No Way Home. But it sounds like now Cinderella is actually ahead. I don't know if you'd seen that. Amazon Prime came out with Cinderella, live action Cinderella. I never seen it.
They were marketing the heck out of it to me.
Oh, yeah, I know. They were marketing the heck out of it to me, too. Well, again, part of it, like I said, I like to see something that's fairly accurate to, I guess it's not based on the Disney Cinderella, but it's just based on the story of Cinderella. But they had, you know, that guy, I don't know if he was trans or not, there's a black man who played the fairy godmother. And I was just like, no.
Okay. A soulful fairy godmother.
I can see, you know, and I can even see if that was modern times, maybe, but when it's set like in a period piece, I just can't see it. So I skipped it. But anyway, that's actually doing very well. Now, nobody knows if it does have a lot of fans or if it's trolls that are basically trying to screw the whole process of like saying, it's like, well, you know what? You know, we're going to pick the worst movie and have that win and that'd be funny. So I don't know. But I think it's a mistake to have fans decide best picture. Because, you know, it's almost like a way of studios patting themselves on the back. You know, this movie made the most money, so it deserves an Oscar. I don't like it.
I don't like it either, because the reason why I like to watch the Oscars or even the Grammys when it comes to music or movies is it's about the camaraderie and judgment of your peers. If we start, you know, going toward the fans and listening to people on social media, no offense, you and I can have an opinion, but we are not in the film industry. You know, we don't know every inch of what it takes to be a director or cinematographer. You know, the judgment of the committee of the Oscars is because they have a specific amount of expertise in the film industry to judge the film. So to just get Joe Schmo to say, you know, this film needs to be, you know, win something just because I'm a big fan of it, like, no. Like, I mean, I think that will ruin the Oscars.
Yeah, it dumbs it down because they're basing it on popularity as opposed to actual acting, story, you know, excellence in those categories.
I don't want to get too off track, but I wanted to ask, did you see Nightmare Alley?
I did.
What'd you think?
Well, what did you think?
I freaking love that film. I need to see it again. It was so dark and it was so well done. I want to look up if Bradley Cooper was nominated. I don't think
he was. I think people complained about that.
So yeah, I don't think he should win an Oscar, but I definitely think from this performance, I think he's worthy to be nominated. And that's saying a lot because Bradley Cooper's been in a lot of films and I think he did a fabulous job of performance of showing this man's transformation. Cate Blanchett was fantastic. She was my Black Widow in this movie, and I was so proud of her. I was just, it was like that moment in Jurassic Park where that dude's just seeing the raptor and he's like, clever girl. Like, that was the moment in this film. It was just like, she was just ruthless. And I loved seeing her just jive into that. Like, man, she's really good at being, you know, dark and evil. There's that side of her. Like, man, she does it great. And the whole vibe of the circus and all the different, you know, characters there. Whoever was doing the props and the locations. Oh, man. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, just to get everything correct in that period. Oh, man. That must have been a big budget film.
Well, I hate to disappoint you. I didn't like it at all.
At all?
No.
Why?
I liked it a little bit more once they left the circus, but I just didn't like it. I felt it dragged. I thought it was kind of boring. I thought it was very predictable. I knew exactly what was going to happen by the end, you know, like they telegraphed it way ahead of time that what the ending was going to be. And Guillermo del Toro, he directed it.
Yes.
He's weird.
You know? Yeah, he is.
Like, all his movies are just like very unsettling. Like, where Tim Burton's are weird, but they're fun. His movies are just creepy. And he shows like a lot of creepy images in his movies. And I always walk away with them from his movies, like seeing that, Yeah, I really didn't like that. I did like Hellboy. I thought he did good with that. But again, that was a completely different genre. It's not the same genre as this one.
Right.
And, you know, this has got Oscar buzz all over it, but I just didn't like it. You know, I thought the acting was okay. It's weird, too. Like, Willem Dafoe was in it. And I feel like they're always trying to make him play younger, where he's nowhere near the age of the character that he's playing. And that kind of stuck out for me. I just felt that he just didn't look right in this. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it. I liked the girl in it. You know, that was his girlfriend, and she was in the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yes.
And, you know, Cate Blanchett was cool. Bradley Cooper was all right, but yeah, I don't know. Not my cup of tea.
Aw, I'm sad.
Not voting for it for Oscar fan favorite, unfortunately. Actually, I'm not voting for anything. Screw that. I'm protesting it. All right, last story. So I sent you pictures of Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al. What do you think?
I don't know what to think about that. I agree with you. I don't know why we need a Weird Al movie. I'm really with you on that. I find it very odd. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't really have any ambition. I mean, I like Weird Al's corny parody songs. They were good. And, you know, they've been in a lot of films and they've been, you know, known for quite a while now, but I don't think we need a whole movie about him. And I don't know how they're going to paint this, you know, like, where is this coming from? Like, all of it, did like a whole bunch of producers just sit around and be like, yeah, we need to make a Weird Al movie because it's not made yet.
Yeah. It's like they're running out of ideas. So like, I never got him. I was around when he came out and MTV was popular. And they would show his Eat It video. And it used to annoy the hell out of me because I wanted to see real videos. And this is just like a satire. And I never liked any of his music or any of his videos. I just don't understand how people clung to him and thought that he was funny or entertaining. I know Taylor, who used to be on the show, he used to love this guy. And every time he performed, you know, he tried to get like front row seats to it. He thought he was the greatest thing in the world. I think he sucks. I think he's horrible. I don't like him. I don't understand, like you said, why would anybody want to make a movie about him? And why would you choose Daniel Radcliffe, who I think is about, would you maybe a foot or almost 2 foot shorter than he is, you know, to play him? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know how they're even going to transform Daniel Radcliffe to...
Well, you saw the pictures of him. He does look like him. You know, he put the curly hair on and the mustache. But he's just, I think he's too short to play the role. And Daniel Radcliffe is not a very good actor either. He was fun in the Harry Potter movies, but... I think that that's another thing too. It's like they probably picked him kind of like when Emma Watson did Beauty and the Beast. Like Disney's like, oh, we'll do a live action Beauty and the Beast. People of Hermione will put her in it. And they were right. You know, that thing was gold. And they might have the same feeling about this too, you know?
Yeah, just putting the whole formula together and see that it'll work. I mean, as far as Weird Al's fit, like music, I always have been a fan. I thought his, you know, wordage and his wordplay was very inventive and taking a song that everybody knows and turning it around into a different theme, I thought was very creative and hilarious. I don't know. I like it. Sometimes we do need a little bit of fun and cheese to serious songs. At least that's how I saw it. But as a fan of Weird Al, I still just don't know where this is coming from, where we need to make a movie about him. It's like a little overkill personally, but maybe he wanted a film about himself.
Of course. He wants to make money, like, because he's not making much right now. I think he's talentless. I think he has a horrible singing voice. I just don't get him. I don't think I'll see it unless it's on cable for free. Maybe Amazon Prime will have it. And since I have Amazon Prime, I'll watch it on there. But yeah, I'm not going to run out to see it. Hope it bombs.
I agree with you. I will wait on that.
All right, that's the news. So let's get into the main topic. And this is our least favorite MCU stars. So like I said, I have quite a bit. I'm not going to go through all of them. But Fedra, so give me one. What's one of your least favorite stars? We'll go back and forth, you and I.
Okay. For Iron Man, I would say Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, she's on my list.
Yeah, just not happy overall with her performance in any of them, personally. I mean, she didn't really have a lot of even substance in the character. I thought it was very moot, and that's not her fault. But again, it's like, just didn't really feel her at all to be Pepper, personally.
Yeah, I feel like she's not playing Pepper Potts. She's playing herself. Yes, and she's also playing the factor. It's very clear she doesn't like being in these movies. She likes making the money, but I think that she feels that they're below her because she's been in, you know, more Oscar-worthy movies. And even like when you see her pushing the film, she just lacks interest in it. She's another one. She's partly weird, but she's partly, a lot of people just don't like her because she's got a lot of money and she pushes, tells everybody how they should live. But most people don't have the money that she has. I mean, I think she was like telling people to make lunch for their children and it would cost like $500 a meal, you know, just like some crazy amount of money. And she just makes these bizarre statements. But again, I would rather they have picked an actress that really could latch on to the character, do research about the character. This is just a role for her. And I just don't think she's happy with it. I always forget her name and I like her a lot. Who's the girl that was in Mean Girls? Not Lindsay Lohan. And she was in
I know who you're thinking of. The one that played Regina George.
Probably. Well, she was in Doctor Strange. Rachel McAdams. She would have been a great Pepper Potts, you know. First of all, Pepper Potts in the comics, like early on, you know, she was kind of shy. She wasn't really voluptuous or anything like that. She was like his secretary, and like he kind of didn't pay much attention to her because like she had the glasses on, and you know, she was not a tomboy, but she just never made herself look up to be sexy or anything. But eventually she did, and she'd gotten a relationship, and I feel like there's a little bit of that in the first movie. But after that, you know, he was just head over heels in love with her, Robert Downey Jr. in the movies. And it just didn't make any sense. I think it would have always been more fun if he had a love interest in each movie, you know, that he was going after, and you know, maybe she betrayed him, which also happened. But yeah, don't like her. She's in my top five for sure. All right, let me go. I'm going to say, you know, this was tough for me, but I'm going to say this is my number one. Elizabeth Olsen is Scarlet Witch.
I had a feeling you would write that.
I think she's a nice person. I don't think she's a very good actress. I know people will say, no, she is, you know, but she's not the Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch is supposed to be super damn sexy and voluptuous, attractive. I'm not saying that she's not attractive, but there's really no sex appeal. She's kind of like an Ivory Soap girl, you know, when she plays Scarlet Witch.
Ivory Soap? I have never heard that.
You never heard that? Well, that used to be a commercial, like where a girl wouldn't wear makeup And you know, someone would like see her and it's like, oh wow, you're so beautiful, you know, and it's like, she's an Ivory Soap girl. Yeah, it's because she didn't need makeup. But that's how I felt like about Elizabeth Olsen's performance. Again, it's another situation where I have a preconceived idea what the character should look like, and she's got to be damn sexy, and that's not her. She's very mousy, you know, she's not commanding, and again, that's not the character. So that's my number one.
Okay. For me, in the Incredible Hulk, I didn't like most of the cast. So Terrence Howard, Edward Norton, he did the best that he could in that film.
Wait a minute, was Terrence Howard in that movie?
Yeah.
What was he? Back. Well, I know he was an Iron Man, the first Iron Man. I know.
Sorry, I put that together. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're right. Yes, that's with, yeah, I put him under Gwyneth Paltrow, Howard as well. And then in The Incredible Hulk, yeah, Edward Norton was, I mean, he did the best that he could with that, but I still didn't really feel like that was Hulk, personally. I mean, even the other guy, Mark
Ruffalo.
I agree with you a lot about what we've talked about in many of the movies that, you know, he's not really Hulk either. But in The Incredible Hulk, I also thought Liv Taylor, even though Liv Taylor is a beautiful woman, I didn't really feel in this film that they had good chemistry together or it was believable. So, yeah, least favorite.
Yeah, they didn't. Well, I will agree with Liv Tyler. She just didn't look like Betty Brant in the comics. Again, Betty Brant was very attractive. Not saying that Liv Taylor wasn't, but she had bangs in this one. And I was like, I've never seen Betty Brant. Not Betty Brant. Betty Brant's with Spider-Man. Betty. I'll just call her Betty. I can't think of the last name. I know it's going to come to me. I'll think about it when you get to your next one. But I agree with you. But I will. I think Edward Norton was much better than Mark Ruffalo. And that's one of my top fives. Mark Ruffalo, first of all, he's too chubby and he's Betty too Ross. Short. Thank you. Yeah, I know her father was General Ross. It was going to come to me, but thank you. He's too chubby, Mark Ruffalo, to play the Hulk. And he seems to be getting chubbier in each movie. I liked him in the first Avengers, but after that, he just went downhill for me. And he sounds like Bullwinkle. You know, you have to sound intelligent to come off as a scientist. And even though he's reading the script, and those are intelligent words that are coming out of his mouth, I don't believe that they're coming out of his head. Because it could be his accent. I could say this because I'm from Brooklyn, you know, a bit of a Brooklyn accent. I just don't see it. And I'm sure they're Brooklyn scientists, but again, that's not Bruce Banner. I would say out of all of them, like I prefer it. Edward Norton, I think, is a fantastic actor. He's another one. He could be a real jackass, and that's why he doesn't get many roles anymore, but he's a very good actor. Eric Bana had played him in the Hulk movie, which was the first Hulk movie. He was kind of good, you know, as Bruce Banner, I would say. But I still don't think that they ever got Bruce Banner right. Like, Bill Bixby played it in a TV series. He was awful as Bruce Banner. You got to be a scientist, a nerd. You got to wear glasses. You got to be skinny. You got to be a little tall. And they just never got that character. I'd say maybe Edward Norton was close, but still not Ruffalo. He blows. All right, what's your next one?
In Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Sebastian Stan.
Hmm.
I thought he was okay. Like, he's not terrible, but he was just okay. And, you know, I really thought about how he was acting and playing this role. I just could have been better, me personally.
Yeah, I disagree with you there. I mean, I liked him. But yeah, I mean, I think probably another outside of Winter Soldier when he played Bucky or the Winter Soldier, it might not have been super great. I thought he was good action Civil War. But and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I guess I wasn't too big fan of his in that one. My big one, this one was close. It the top three is Elizabeth Olsen, Mark Ruffalo, and this guy, Don Cheadle. He is awful as War Machine or James Rhodes. Terrence Howard used to be, was the first James Rhodes or Rhodey, and he was so much better. Don Cheadle, he's too old, he's too skinny, his head's too big. You know, and again, he's just playing himself. He's not playing the character. Now, Anthony Mackie, who plays Sam Wilson, I think he would be so much better as Rhodey, because he's got to be a little bit younger than Iron Man. He's got to be, you know, kind of like have an imposing body. And, you know, like when you see him walking down the street, you know, you may want to run away. You're not going to pick a fight with the guy. Don Cheadle, you're going to trip him. For sure.
Yeah.
They just totally miscast him. And I'm sure it had to do with the fact that somebody was doing him a favor. And I can't believe that he's getting his own series on Disney Plus. Because it's close. I'm going to give it a tie. Don Cheadle and Elizabeth Olsen is the worst characters in the MCU. Neither one are any good. And they're never going to die. Which sucks. Most of the people that are horrible are never going to die. And again, it's in my top five or six. All right, what's your next one?
I think you'll agree with me on this one. In Shang-Chi, I think Simu Liu.
Yeah.
Awkwafina. I think they were... I don't think they were terrible, but they both could have done better. Definitely. I think it was too hyped up, personally, for both of them.
Yeah, he was my number six, Simu Liu. Everybody was praising him, saying, yeah, like, what a great actor he was in that movie. He was boring. And I seriously think that they brought Awkwafina on because they're like, ugh, we need somebody for him to play off of that has somewhat of a personality. And again, I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I don't think this was her worst performance ever.
I didn't like her. I couldn't resonate with either one of them. And it's like, you gotta resonate with somebody when you're watching a Marvel film. And in this one, I just couldn't. I mean, that's what was sad about it.
Well, don't get me wrong. I think she sucks, you know, but I've seen her suck worse in other movies, or suck more, however you want to say it. Yeah, she just didn't fit. I don't want to get into the whole thing again, but just getting back to Simu Liu, he just was boring, you know, and a character like that should have a lot of charisma. I don't know how it made as much money as it did, but I guess we're always going to see him after that. Okay. Well, so that was you. Well, yep. All right. My next one, she's my number four, Zendaya. Michelle or MJ, she's the worst. Good Lord. I will say she's probably the worst actress on this list, or actor or actress. So I'd seen her as Mary Jane, and I've seen her in Dune, and I saw her in a commercial for that HBO Max series. I think it's called Euphoria.
Euphoria. Yeah.
It's the same. It's like the same character. She never changes her acting. It's, you know, she never changes her look. She never changes the way she addresses people. She is very mousy. Like I said, Elizabeth Olsen is mousy. She is super mousy. And like they try to portray her as like a strong, you know, young female. She's not. I mean, you're going to have a, if you want to do that, you got to have like a, let's see you scream. Let's see your war face or something like that. And she just never has. It's always the same. It's like, well, I can't even do her, but it's like, she's just, and she's boring whenever she's on the screen. I'm sure she's good at other things. I'm not going to say anything insulting, but yeah, I don't like her. Yeah, she's up there for me. All right, what was your next one?
You may disagree with me on this one. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
No.
In Mysterio.
Oh my God. Yeah, I super disagree with you. But go ahead.
I just, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because of him as an actor. I just couldn't see him as a good villain. I couldn't see him as Mysterio. So I just wasn't impressed. Again, I'm going by just the least favorite actor in these films, and I'm just pulling him out. I mean, I have almost the whole cast of Eternals. That's going to be next.
Me too.
So we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, okay, why do you disagree? Tell me why you think.
No, I thought he was great. I thought he was the best part of the movie, Mysterio. I think he's a good actor. He was decent as Mysterio. But that's what they do with the Spider-Man movies. I'll give them credit for that. Vulture was a lame character, but Michael Keaton just made him so much better. Mysterio is a bit of a lame character in the comics, but to me, Jake Gyllenhaal made him a lot better. And yeah, I mean, I was disappointed that he wasn't in Spider-Man No Way Home. I thought he really did a good job. And I love the costume too. Like it was fairly comic book.
Yeah, the costume was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Well, sticking with that movie. Marissa Tomei as Aunt May. I think she's awful. I don't think she's a very good actress. I always have these arguments with Jack if he was here. Like she won Best Supporting Actress for her role in My Cousin Vinny. There's like stories going around, and who knows if this is true or not, but they're saying that she really didn't win. Man, I have such brain farts today. Who was the guy that was in I don't know if I'm camera shy, but I just can't think of the name. He won for Best Supporting Actress. He was in City Slickers. Go, Fedra. Go, 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 go. You looking up City Slickers?
Jake Balance?
Yeah.
P-A-L-A-N-C-E?
Palance.
Jack Palance?
Jack Palance, yeah. So he gave out last year, the previous year, he had won the Oscar for City Slickers, which he didn't deserve that one either because he was only in it for like about 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe a little bit more. So he got the Oscar the previous year. So usually what happens is the person that got the Oscar gives the Oscar to the Best Supporting Actress the following year.
Yes.
So he gets up there and he's high on goofballs or whatever the hell he's on. You could tell he's like drunk. He starts doing push-ups on the stage, like showing, it's like, oh, you know, look at me, you know, I mean, I may be old, but I'm wiry and I can do push-ups. So everybody's clapping and applauding. And then he has this list of like these fantastic actresses, and then all of a sudden he's like, the winner is Miss Marissa Tomei, you know. And there's no way she deserved that actress. I mean, it was a fun movie, but I really seriously think that he did make a mistake and that he read off the wrong name, because that's, you know, the legend apparently. Because when you think about it, has she ever been nominated again for an Oscar? Has she ever done like a kick-ass performance before. And again, she's very attractive and everything, but she's not my Aunt May. Like I said, Aunt May has got to be toothless, got gray hair, you know, one foot in the grave, the other foot on the banana peel, you know, and that's not the Aunt May that's been in the Spider-Man movies recently. And she's just not a very good actress. Her whole death scene was boring as hell. I was laughing when she was dying and actually, I guess, grasped a sigh of relief when she was dead. And I was just like, oh, please, and die, let you be next, please. But you know that's never going to happen. Yeah, she sucks. Bottom line, don't like her.
Well, I don't... I didn't like her death scene. And I didn't like how in this film she was portraying. I mean, I know they were trying to go for a modern, younger, you know, Aunt May, which I was more open to. Because, as I said before, I think just in general, the film industry is very discriminatory about putting older women and older men into films. And I really hope that that is changing now, that they're going to really do that more, because I don't like age discrimination, and it shouldn't exist in film. There's so many great older characters that we love. And I think she's a very attractive and very talented actress. I like her in several films, especially My Cousin Vinny. But I agree with you that the death scene was terrible. It was very elongated. The only thing I didn't like also with her portraying Aunt May, it was like she was trying to be a cool aunt, like being hip and like dating Happy, or just saying like, oh, we're not dating. It was just a fling type of thing. Like, I don't know. I don't see Aunt May like that. I kind of see Aunt May, like you're saying, just very tried and true to traditional. I could see her as a devoted widow to her husband who passed away, and just very focused on taking care of Peter.
Yeah.
And I just did not see that in how Melissa Tomei was projecting that character. Again, I don't know if that's the writing or if that was her interpretation, but I didn't like that casual flexibility of the character. That rubbed me off the wrong way, because it was just like, that's, you know, kids are watching this and big fans are watching this, and that's not how they see Aunt May. So I wouldn't want that to be, you know, that kind of description of her.
Yeah, she came off as a floozy to me, because it's like, why would she go out with Happy? He's boring. He's got no personality. He wears the same suit all the time. He's got money. That's why she's going out with him.
And yeah, not just that. I mean, the whole part where Peter is going, I mean, it didn't make any sense anyway, but like the whole school thing, and they're going out of the country and they're going on this like trip. Like, I would not see elderly or more mature Aunt May even saying that he could do that. I could totally see her being like, no, you need to stay home and study. No, you can't go out of the country without me. I don't care if it's a school project or school thing. You know, that's what I would see of her. Like, instead of Melissa Tomei's character is like, yeah, go, hey, bye, I gotta work. It's like, I don't see
I gotta
that.
Be a floozy.
Yeah, like, I gotta go hustle and work and do whatever, and I'm not really taking care of you. It's like, no, that's not the image that I would want to see.
No, you make a good point. And yeah, you are right. I didn't think about that. She should be more concerned about Peter instead of like fooling around or getting her fix or something like that. And
that's why I like the Tobey Maguire films, because she does show that in the elderly character. She was always, yeah, you know, coming into the either where he lived or making sure that he ate, or did he sleep? Or she was looking at his clothes, like, when the last time did you do laundry? Like, that's the feeling of someone that's your parent, you know, not your
friend. Also, you know, Aunt May always in the comics, she kind of had like a hinting that he might have been Spider-Man, but she never confronted him over it. This one's like Aunt May finds out right away, and she's his partner. It's like he's got too many partners. He's got Ned, he's got Zendaya, you know, and no one should know Spider-Man's identity. He should always have his damn mask on. He should be going out of his way to make sure no one knows who he is. That's another reason why it just makes this Peter look so damn stupid that so many times, like, people find out who he is, you know. And again, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, let's see. All right, this one I think is a good one. Sylvester Stallone in Guardians 2, he played Stakar Ogard. And he just was too Sylvester Stallone, you know?
Yeah, I can totally agree with that.
They couldn't have at least given him some alien makeup. It's just like it seems like he just got out of bed. They put a costume on him. It's like, go for it. I love Sylvester Stallone, but
me too.
He just was too much like a Sylvester Stallone in the movie.
Yeah, he really wasn't playing that character. He was himself.
All right. Anyone else you got there, lady?
Oh, my last bit is the Eternals. Richard Mann, Salma Hayek, Don Lee, Bill Skarsgård, Harry Styles, and Kit Harington. I mean, it's pretty much most of the cast. I mean, it was like, and the basis is not that they're bad actors, it's just that there were too many. There was so many in there stretched over time. I don't know what's going on with Salma. I really like Salma in other movies, but this, I thought it was so blah. I think she, like the way that you compared Gwyneth Paltrow in Iron Man, I will compare Salma Hayek in Eternals. It was like she was doing it because she's like, hey, this is my opportunity to be a lead female role in a Marvel movie, so I'm going to be the head of Eternals. Oh, I'm so fancy. But then it's like you have no substance or structure or personality to be this head of Eternals. I didn't find her bossy or like really.
Did Selma Hayek just walk into your room, Fedra?
Yes,
that was pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm trying. Ugh, I got to work on it, but I'll get there. I got to get more Latina in me, but I can work on it. But yeah, I mean, I was actually more happy with Angelina Jolie. And even though I didn't really like her character, I think she at least did it well, you know, where I could see the reasoning of her character, what she was actually portraying. But everybody else, it was just a cluster of people. And I really like Richard Mann, and I really like Kit Harington in Game of Thrones. They were amazing. But in here, they weren't. No offense, but they weren't.
You know, I agree with you. And I don't know who Kit Harington is because I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I felt that way too. And everybody's like, ooh, it's pretty cool, you know, that he's in it. And it's like, that's it? You know, is that guy that special? I wasn't a big fan of most of the acting in it. I liked Icarus, the actor that played him, and I liked Gemma Chang. I thought that they were pretty good. The rest of them.
I think that's Richard Mann, and I believe that's Don Lee.
Well, Gemma Chan she played.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Cersei's.
Yeah. I liked her. Yeah. Cersei. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody else. And like we said this before, I just don't understand if the Celestials are supposed to create these perfect beings, how they made one that was deaf. They made one that was fat. They made, you know, just like all of these weird things. Like, I just don't get. And, you know, again, it was just a way to push inclusiveness and diversity. And that's fine and everything. It's still my favorite out of the Phase 4 movies so far. but mm-hmm. that's not much saying much, you know. It's like saying, like, what's your favorite Friday the 13th movie, you know?
Right.
Let's see, who will I pick? Because I have, like, I'll give one last one here. I'm going to say, because, you know, I was disappointed, was Paul Bettany as Vision, because he was great in Age of Ultron, but he went downhill fast. And it's because these writers, they just don't get him. He became Scarlet Witch's puppy dog and, you know, was kind of like Pinocchio, like where he wanted to be a human and all this crap. And that's not Vision. Vision is cool. You know, Vision, it's, you know, kind of cool that he hooks up with Scarlet Witch in the comics, but it's not like he was running after her the whole time. And I think, you know, it's kind of like a person that, again, that is constantly running after a girl and, you know, she's popping out of, like, every, you know, bookcase that she happens to be. You're not going to be attracted to someone like that. You're going to find that person annoying. You know, you're going to be more attracted to the person that ignores you, not the person that's just, here I am, look at me, now I'm wearing a sweater vest. You know, it's like, I just felt they ruined the character, and he got even worse in WandaVision. And he was one of my favorite characters of the Avengers in the comics, and they just made him so soft. Him and Boba Fett should hang out one day. Oh, by the way, Dan had emailed me, and he told me that, you know, he was listening to the podcast, and he had to listen to the lyrics to the Boba Fett song to see if it was true, and he couldn't believe that you were right. And he sent me the link to the Boba Fett song.
I mean, really? As a musician, as someone who actually wants to be a songwriter, I mean, I know for a fact whoever is making those royalties is making bank, and all they had to do was do Boba, 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 Boba. I mean, like, I mean, it's like nails on a chalkboard when you think about all the artists, all the musicians out there. And I know one of you are listening, and you went through heck going to a conservatory or studying music theory and hours and hours. And this dude just does ba 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 ba. I'm like, oh, I just, sorry, I have no sympathy for my opinion at all. I am,
yeah, that was horrible. I'm like that too. It's like when I think of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, I think that name is awful. They should have just called it Star Wars Land, but somebody came up with the words Galaxy's Edge, and they probably got six figures for that name.
Sounds like a Samsung phone.
Yeah, well, it is, isn't it?
Like, yeah, I'll get the Galaxy Edge, the Star Wars edition, please. Yeah, it's $4,000. Yeah, I'll take it.
It just always irritates me, like, when somebody comes up, when Disney announces, like, the Galactic Star Cruiser, it's like, another idiot got $100,000 for that name, I'm sure. And it's like, you know, couldn't call it the Star Wars Hotel. You couldn't call it Star Wars Land. Right next door to Star Wars Land is Toy Story Land, you know? And anyway, getting off on a tangent. I'll just give you my quick, I'm not going to say anything about them, but my runners-ups. Benedict Wong as Wong. John Favreau as Happy. Martin Freeman as Everett Ross in the Black Panther movie. He was the token white guy that didn't belong to be needed to be in their movie at all. Tony Revlon, who plays Flash Thompson in the Spider-Man movies. Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. I will say, Tessa Thompson, she does a good job, but I just don't like the race swap. You know, I'm just a fan of the Valkyrie in the comics. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what, you know, she does do a decent job though, but I just wish they would have been more accurate to the comics. Ray Winston in Black Widow as Dreykov, you know, the villain. Mm-hmm. Did he even have a Russian accent, or was it just his British accent? I forget.
It sounded more British than Russian.
Yeah. The girl who played Taskmaster in that movie. The Eternals, most of them. I have Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson because I just don't like how he's been in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier movies. Again, I think he would have been a great War Machine, and they should have gotten someone older to play Sam Wilson. Tom Holland as Peter Parker. I'm just done with him right now. And Kat Dennings as Darcy in the Thor movies. So there's a lot. I'm sure.
I can see some of them, though.
Yeah. Anywho, let's wrap this one up. So, Fedra, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can friend request me on Facebook and follow me on Instagram. If you'd like to send me an email, it's fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can send me a friend request on Facebook. Or you can send me an email at joe@wdwnt.com. And if you, let's see, check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. Finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a patron supporter, please visit WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 10. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, everyone.